الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى أهله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز فلا أقسم بما تبصرون وما لا تبصرون إنه لقول رسول كريم وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. All praise and glory, complete submission is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the most perfect of salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his noble and purified family members Ahlul Bayt, and upon the illustrious and the beautiful and the luminous companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, youngsters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal shower upon you all in this blessed and sacred month of Muharram, in this sacred and new Islamic year. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings and mercy shower upon us all, and may we all enter into the gardens of paradise on the day of Qiyamah. Allahumma ameen. As I mentioned, we are in the month of Muharram, the new Islamic year 1445. And all glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innal izzata lillahi jami'a. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives izzah to whomsoever He wills. Tu'izzu man tasha. And one of the reasons of this beautiful month of Muharram is that it is ascribed and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore it has so much glory. But another reason for why it has further glory for us as Muslims is that it is the year, it is the month which Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and who chose to be the new Islamic year. So insha'Allahul Aziz, today we will talk about our predecessors. We will talk about the Salaf al-Salihin, and more importantly, we will talk about the Sahaba ikram, who gave all of their izzah and their honor for the deen of Islam, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sake of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And their izzah, therefore, that we have today as Muslims comes undoubtedly from Allah azza wa jal via the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam and via the beautiful companions of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore it is our duty to remember them and to honor them the way that they honored the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, and how Allah azza wa jal in turn honored them. So Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, and this is for the elders as well as for the youngsters today, to learn a little bit about him and his great personality, and also to give us some core lessons for the youngsters on who they are, where they are in their own particular life, and how they can also transform the way Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu did during his lifetime. So we come to a particular age where Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was about 27 years old. So essentially at the prime of his youth, the prime of his adulthood. And this is when the Nabuwa, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, announced his Nabuwa, the prophethood, to all of those people that were there in Makkah. So we can understand first and straight away that Sayyidina Umar is in the middle of everything. And he's at a time in his age, in his life, where he's full of energy and enthusiasm, and he also has a lot of focus and determination and strength as well. And whether he uses that for Islam or whether that he uses that against Islam is something that we learn from the history. And this is equally applicable to our youngsters as well, for those in their youth, for those in their prime. What are you giving to your religion? What are you giving back to your community? So Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he was no ordinary man. First and foremost, that he grew amongst the likes of Sayyidina Amr ibn As and Khalid ibn al-Walid and various other great illustrious Sahaba ikram who did so much to propagate and to strengthen Islam. So he grew amongst these people at that time with strong leadership qualities and characteristics. So he was taking from all of these particular people. At the beginning, they weren't necessarily Muslims, but nevertheless he took from them. And this is another lesson for our youngsters as well, that we live in this society. And just because this society is a non-Muslim society, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't take the goodness that they have, the qualities that they have, to benefit yourselves or to benefit Islam at large. So this is what we learn. He's in his youth and he's full of energy and he wants to do something with that. And he's taking and learning from the people that are around him. Who was Sayyidina Umar Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and as his demeanor and his stature? He was a very, very tall individual. And some books mention that even when he would ride a horse, his feet would almost touch the ground. That is how tall he was. So he was a very tall man, a very towering and quite a powerful man. He was very strong and tenacious. And we know this as well, that even the shaitan would walk on the opposite side of Sayyidina Umar Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and as mentioned by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So very strong internally and externally, a tenacious man. At the same time, he was very, very eloquent, that he knew how to persuade people. He would speak very clearly and very precisely. And therefore, the people of Quraysh at that time made him their ambassador, their safir, that he would go out on delegations or businesses, various other things to resolve major problems and conflicts, etc. So we also, as a nation, we can learn from this as well as an ummah, that our youngsters, they are full of energy, full of youth, full of ideas, full of capability. And we need to make sure that we channel them and their energies in the correct way, so that first and foremost, they develop in a holistic manner, and then they can also benefit their community and their society, and vis-a-vis also the ummah, the Muslim ummah as well. So Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he had this side which we've talked about, but equally he had a different side as well. He had a very, very dark and a very, very evil side as well. And we're talking this from a historical perspective, because the Sahaba ikram, they are above our eyes, you know, and we love them and we respect them and honor them. But this is for the purposes of teaching us all that whether we are a sheikh or an imam or whoever you may be, we all have a particular journey in our lifetime before that change and that transformation takes place in our life. So he also had a dark side and an evil side. And he was also understood to be a very, very ruthless man as well. Nobody would ever do panga, as they say in our language, with Sayyidina Umar Khattab at any time. They knew that if they did any panga, that's it. It would be the end for them. So he was a very ruthless man. He was a very, very vicious man as well. And often we learn that he would be drunk and he had a very, very promiscuous life. And this is very important for our youngsters to also understand as well, that as Muslims, once we have been guided, we need to make sure that our light always overcomes the dark. Because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has taken us min al-zulumati ila al-nur. That's the way that he took Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab and many other people from the darkness, from the jahiliyyah, from their ignorance, from their arrogance, from all of these dark and evil traits, and he took them towards the light. And this is our duty as well, that when we see this evil around us or within us, we need to make sure that we always go and gravitate towards goodness, towards khair, towards the deen of Islam, towards those people who can take us out of our own darkness and evil, and towards the light. So Sayyidina Umar Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and as his personality, which is equally the personality of many youngsters that I see and I'm sure you interact with as well, that they have a good side when you meet them in the mosque, etc. But on the other side, you'll see them drinking, you'll see them doing various other things, and you think, what are you doing? So Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he would often pursue the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, just so he could go and insult him. Because remember, he's challenging the status quo of his time in society, that all people should be equal, there should be no disparity between the rich and the poor, the slaves should be free. All of this is a huge challenge in terms of his mindset and how he's been brought up, and now he is a leader. So he challenges all of this power and the vacuum and the control, that am I going to allow this person to come and challenge everything and change everything, or I'm going to do something about it. So he would go often and he would pursue the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, just so he could insult him. Or he would go around and telling other people, he is a liar, don't ever listen to this individual, constantly there to undermine the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his mission. So Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and on the other side, he was a very antagonistic individual, very antagonistic approach that he had towards Islam, a staunch enemy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whereby he hated him and everything that he stood for, and he hated Muslims and this whole new world order. Now this might be a historical context, but in this day and age we do find our youngsters, or youngsters from other communities and other faiths, having this type of approach. But it is only through rahmah, it is only through perseverance and patience can we change them and show them the light, just the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did as well. So the conversion, the transformation of Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and was actually via a prophetic dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which again teaches us an important lesson, that and when we see other people who are evil, whether they attempt to burn the Quran, whether they attempt to malign or insult the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or do other things, what is the first thing that we should do? Do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see the potential in those individuals and see how they can, if they are transformed, can bring about so much barakah and khair and izzah and honor to Islam. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't hate people intrinsically. Yes, he disliked their actions and their habits and their belief system, but he wanted to guide people, to transform people and bring them towards the light. And this is where he did that dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi ahad al-umarain, that oh Allah, grant izzah, grant honor, grant success to Islam. How? Bi ahad al-umarain, via two Umars. And who are the two Umars that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam here was alluding to? One was Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hashim, and the other one was none other than Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. And but the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his heart wanted both to be guided, but he inclined more towards Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab because of his potential. So we can often see youngsters and the youth or adults in our community and society, and we can see there's so much potential in them, but they're not being channeled in the correct way. So it is our duty to guide them, to do dua for them, and to transform their bad habits into good habits, to take them from the darkness into the light. And how does this whole scenario actually unravel? Once the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was praying at the Haram, in front of the Kaaba, but at that time praying towards Masjid al-Aqsa, because remember, only when they went to Medina then the Qibla was changed. So he was there at the corner of the Yemeni corner, but praying in front of the Kaaba, but towards the direction of Masjid al-Aqsa. So Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and at that time, as I mentioned, he would always pursue to see what this man is up to, what is he trying to do, what is he trying to showcase to these people. So he went and he saw that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was about to pray. So there, he went under the gilaf, i.e. the cloth of the Kaaba, and he hid there to think and to see, what is this man actually going to do? What is he actually going to say? What is he actually up to? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, had listened to the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to grant honor and strength to Islam via one of the Umars. And this is that very particular Umar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to guide. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is praying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then consequently reveals these particular verses, causing Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and to listen to them in particular. What is the verse that was recited by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ, that indeed I swear by what you see and what you do not see. which is there addressing Sayyidina Umar at that time, that even though you may think that you are hiding, that you are concealing yourself, that you may think that nobody is watching you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-seeing and the all-knowing. Even though you assume the Prophet ﷺ doesn't know what's happening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him well aware, even though you assume that you do not know. And we need to open our eyes as well as open our heart to see the reality of who we are and the dunya and our purpose here in the dunya, and not just use our eyes but also use our heart and our soul. So this kind of startled him a little bit, that whoa, I thought nobody could see me, I'm hiding here in a different corner. But what is the Prophet saying at this time? That فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. So he was startled and then he was mesmerized. Just the way that sometimes we listen to a rap, we listen to a song and we think, I care about that. Or we listen to some shayari, or we listen to some eloquent speech and we think, wah, wah, wah. But the Arabs at that time, the most mesmerizing thing for them was the Arabic language. And when they would listen to the verses of the Quran, it would really move their hearts and make them mesmerize in ways that they could not imagine or fathom. So he was really startled and mesmerized. Then within himself, he starts thinking that these words cannot be from this particular individual. And then the verse of the Quran is revealed, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. That these are indeed the words of a Rasul, of a benevolent, of a merciful, kind Rasul, come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in a way speaking to Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And whilst he's having this conversation within his own head, and then the story continues. Then he thinks in his mind, wait a minute, no, okay, I've listened to the first bit, I listened to the second bit, okay, he claims to be a prophet. No, I think that he is just a poet, and he's making these fancy words just to come together, and they sound nice, and everything else. So he must be a poet. And then the verse is revealed, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. These are not words of a poet, of a sha'ir. Very little do you actually believe. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is penetrating the heart of Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala and saying, think, and think deep, and think well. Do you really think that this is just an ordinary man? And then he thinks again within his own mind that if he's a poet, and this is what he's saying now, he must be a sorcerer because he's able to read my mind. And whatever I'm thinking, he's saying that out aloud, but in the most beautiful and eloquent of ways. Then the next verse is revealed, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. And neither is this word, these are the words of a sorcerer. Little do you ever reflect and think. And then he thought, this is not possible. He's completely perplexed, hiding behind the Kaaba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is verily the revelation that has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all of the worlds. And this really has a huge impact on Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab. Do you know how you physically shake somebody and say, wake up? Or in the English language, you say, smell the coffee, to make them realize that, wait a minute, they need to really reassess their life. So this really has a huge impact of Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And from this we learn a valuable lesson that our youngsters as well, we can change them, but we need to sit with them, we need to talk to them, and the Qur'an can speak to you as an individual. The Qur'an wasn't revealed just directly for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam as a conversation between him and his Lord. It was revealed to us, for all of humanity, for us to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to have that direct communication, that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah azza wa jal can and does speak to us all, but we need to be willing to open the Qur'an, or at least be willing to listen to the Qur'an, and then our hearts will be softened, our soul will be illuminated in our mind, and our hearts will be guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this scenario now, imagine, has happened, that he hates this individual, he's there, but now he's really shook. Oh my God, his whole paradigm, his mind has been shifted, like, what's going on? But essentially, he's still what? He's still a man. He's still a human being. And what do men generally do? Whenever we don't understand something, we suppress it. Or we get angry and we get frustrated, like, I can't process this. So this is Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he's a tough man, and he doesn't like to be confused. He doesn't like to be distressed. He doesn't want to be an emotional person, even though those verses are really turning him and his heart and his soul, and he's going around and around. He doesn't want to be in that particular state. And men don't like to just sit down and cry. What do we do generally? We get angry. We get angry because we don't want to face our emotions. So this is Umar Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. So he goes home. He goes home and he's confused and he doesn't know what to do. But then in his mind, because he can't process the entirety of the situation and his heart hasn't really truly been opened because he's not willing to allow his heart to open, he thinks, okay, that's it. I can't process this. I can't understand this. I'm just going to go and kill this man. He's a poet, he's a this, he's a that, and I'm just going to kill him and stop this once and for all. And this is generally our reaction as well, that sometimes when we can't understand things, we give our ultimatums. This way or the highway, my way or the highway, that's it. You know, and men do this. They can't really process their emotions in the right way. And this is, again, we see Umar, he thinks, that's it, I'm going to kill this man and be done with him. So he thinks, he gets his sword out, and he's walking towards the house of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam with the intention to go and kill this individual, because he can't process, you know, he's not at peace within his heart or his mind. But on the way, he sees a sahabi who says to him, where are you going? And he could see the sword in his hand and he can see the redness in his eyes. He said, before you go to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, just go back home and see what's going on within your own home. Go and see your own sister and go and see your own brother-in-law. Go and fix your family and kill them first, essentially, before you even think about killing the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So he goes back in that huff and puff and in that, you know, anger, that redness. He doesn't know that his sister, his own sister, Fatima bint Khattab, and his own brother-in-law Sa'id, they are Muslims, that they have accepted Islam. So he doesn't knock on the door, he kicks the door, because he's a very tenacious man, kicks the door down, and he punches Sa'id, and he's across the room, and he slaps his sister as well. He flips the table. You can just imagine, in a fit of rage, he's a very, very tall and strong and powerful man. He can't process. He's all seeing red, and he's destroying everything that is around him. Finally, once he's got all of those emotions, that frustration, that anger out, he sits down, and then he says, okay, what were you reading? What are you, why have you accepted Islam? Then he is ready to actually listen to that whole situation and scenario. So extreme show of emotions and confusion and internal chaos within him. But after he calms down, he's ready to listen to the Quran. And his daughter, his sister says to him, no, you cannot touch the Quran. You cannot read the Quran. Go and wash yourself first. If you want to read the Quran, wash yourself. So he performs ghusl, purifies his body, and then he comes with a more calmer heart. And then he recites what his sister and brother-in-law were reciting, which is Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa illa tazkiratan liman yakhsha tanzilan mimman khalaqa al-ardha was-sama. Here, again, as we talked about before, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Haqqa was talking to Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, here again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is essentially addressing him, and he is feeling that this direct communication is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa, that we didn't reveal this Qur'an to you so that you can be in utter distress, because this is essentially his situation at that time. He's internally confused, he's in distress, he can't process all of his emotions, he's in this state of conflict. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, illa tazkiratan liman yakhsha. This Qur'an has been revealed as a reminder for those people who truly reflect and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tanzeelam mimman khalaqa al-arda was-samawati al-ula. Revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one, the Lord, the creator of all of the heavens and the earth. And it just illuminates and blows his mind. And he realizes this is what I should actually be. This is the change and that transformation that he was looking for, the guidance that he was looking for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he reads these verses, and then he goes again back to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And the Sahaba akram, they don't know his state. They still think he's coming in a fit of rage to come to kill the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, he's there, the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam stops him. He says, Hamza, let him through, let him pass, stand down. So Sayyidina Umar Khattab radiallahu ta'ala then goes and he sits before the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in humility, sitting there with his head down, and then he takes the shahada from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and his life is completely transformed and changed. And Islam then also, as a consequence, is completely in a different phrase. Why? Because of the dua of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. But this didn't happen just overnight. This happened with a huge amount of patience and perseverance and mercy from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَلَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيزَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. It was not for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that he shared with all of his people. Imagine people who are there, they are taunting you, they're undermining you, they're trying to assassinate you. What would you do? Well, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was merciful and forgiving and patient, and because of that, people came to him and they were not dispelled, they did not go away from him. And this is what we need to do as Muslims as well, that we will see people who are horrible internally and externally, who have this evil and darkness around them and within them, but we have to be merciful and forgiving and patient and do dua the way the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did, and we will see that these enemies will become our friends and become our aids, and these people will become the strength and the izzah and the honor of Islam. So sometimes our own family members, whether your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, can be in a very, very dark place, but we need to guide them through patience and perseverance and through mercy to the light, and do dua for them the way that the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did. So the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who turns the hearts, but he uses us as the means to enable people's heart to become turned, or for their hearts to become softer as well, and to turn these enemies into friends. This is through us. So we have a huge amount of duty that we need to perform, just the way the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did, which is consistently convey the message of Islam to guide people, even though they may be the most evil people that are around us, but look at their potential and look at how they can help you and the Ummah and Islam wherever they go. So that individual that we described at the beginning, now Islam remembers him, and so do non-Muslims throughout the world, that he was the great Sahabi of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He was Al-Faruq, the one who used to distinguish between Haqq and Batil. He was the one where the shaitan would walk on the other side. He was the distinguishing one. He was the Faqih of Islam, the great judge and the journal of Islam, the most humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. He is known and recognized as the most honest, so much so the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that if there was a prophet after me, it would be Umar. This is the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the most upright and just, and he was the most fearful and tenacious in front of other people. He was the Khalifa, he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was the Shaheed, and he is also the Sahibi Qabr of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. So we can all change and transform, and we can help other people to change and transform as well. And just the way Umar gave izzah and honor and strength to Islam, we must all, within our capacities and abilities,